Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I'm your great host, John Orlando, and I hope you are all doing well out there. No matter if you're listening in the morning, in the afternoon, or the evening, whenever you're listening to this short or curtate episode of the PVD Cast. Curtate, by the way, is a synonym for the word short. I said I'm going to keep rolling along with these little half episodes, giving you a little synonyms, if you will. Not cinnamon, that would be something different. That would be an odd podcast if I was just handing out cinnamon. But anyways, I wanted to come on and talk about last night's big WWE pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell. Wanted to talk a little bit about some of the predictions, some of the opinions, some of the insights that I and my guest, Mr. Larry Fisher, gave to you about the NHL season. Of course, that was a couple of episodes ago on this podcast. Some things have gone on that, quite frankly, Larry nor I predicted would go on, but going to touch base with that here in just a couple minutes. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm sorry if I alarmed anybody last week with a quick tweet that I was, you know, kind of sitting in the urgent care office trying to get a doctor to take a look at me. And I tweeted that out because I was trying to be funny and also somewhat honest. And I got a few folks tweeting me back right away, hoping that everything was A-okay. And I guess I caused some alarm. And, you know, truth be told, I haven't felt too well over the last couple weeks. And so I finally had had enough and decided to go to urgent care last Monday. And they diagnosed me with having a little bit of acid reflux in my stomach, which, you know, explains quite a bit. You know, I've been having stomach aches that have lasted for about half of a day, and sometimes I would have them on Monday and then not have them on Tuesday, and maybe not have one on Wednesday, but have one Thursday, Friday. So I just got tired of it. You know, sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired sometimes. So went to the doctor, they gave me a prescription for Nexium, actually that stuff's now over the counter, but they said that that's what you should take, and hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be feeling better, and we'll see where it goes. But I will tell you this, it's not been fun, it really hasn't, to have like a stomach ache for most of the day. It's not a fun feeling, and so I'm hoping that I'm on the road to good health here real soon. So all right, let's get on into it. Last night was the WWE pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell. Now, I gotta be honest, I think that the WWE is on this streak of pretty much just giving kind of a mediocre pay-per-view. I really keep thinking that these last few pay-per-views have been kind of Raw-worthy. Like, it's nothing more than a big episode of Raw. But with that being said, I want to throw out a few highlights to some of the things that I really liked and maybe some things I didn't like. I think the pre-match show was really good. It was a match that we've seen before, but it was King Barrett teaming with Rusev, teaming with Sheamus to take on Neville, Cesaro, and Dolph Ziggler. Man, oh man, how Cesaro is not getting a bigger push is beyond me, because that man put on a clinic in this match. And I mean, you know, it's the opener, it's on the pre-show, not a lot of people, I imagine, watch the pre-show, but man, oh man, they should have, because last night, Cesaro was phenomenal. I thought that match was really good. I thought that was probably one of the best matches on the show, as a matter of fact. I'll go out and say it. Yeah, I think it was. The only other match I think that came close to it was A New Day versus the Dudley Boys. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But, I mean, hands down, Cesaro worked his tail off, as did the other gentleman in that matchup. It seemed like Cesaro just kicked it up to another level, so to speak. All right, well, we also saw the return of Alberto Del Rio to the WWE, as he was the individual that accepted John Cena's open challenge for the U.S. title. And interestingly enough, John Cena lost to Alberto Del Rio. Now, I'm curious to know how this deal came about, because as many of you probably know or remember, Alberto Del Rio has been gone for a little while from the WWE because of some run-ins with one of the individuals that ran one of the media departments, and they kind of didn't get along, and there was maybe even some Hispanic slurs thrown one way or the other, and Del Rio popped him in the mouth. So I'm curious to see just what stories come out about this agreement and with Del Rio being back and not part of any of the Mexican promotions like AAA or Lucha Underground. So Alberto Del Rio is now the new United States champion, and I thought that match was actually pretty good as well. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about the other two matches I really, really like. I like A New Day versus the Dudley Boys. I think it was incredibly smart to allow New Day to get the victory, even though it was by underhanded methods. But I think it keeps A New Day strong. And I got to be honest, Kofi, Big E, and Xavier are the best heels in the company, in my opinion. I mean, they're getting the heat. They are entertaining people. I think they're the total package. And so I'm glad that they kind of used the Dudley Boys as the vehicle to put those guys over more and say, look, they beat a dominant team here in the world of professional wrestling, the Dudley Boys. So I'll be curious to see what might be the next tag team that comes up. May I make a suggestion? If I was booking the WWE, I would put Neville and Cesaro together because I think that they make a pretty good team. You have the power guy, the speed guy, the high flyer in Neville. And the power guys, I said before, with Cesaro, I think that would be an awesome tag team. But again, that's just my opinion. The other match I thought was really good was The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. I think it was good because, quite frankly, it was what I thought it was going to be, where two guys beat the ever-loving hell out of each other. And I think that they did that. You know, it was evident that, obviously, Lesnar got gashed open. Rumors are that WWE Vince was not very happy with that, but, you know, accidents happen or whatever. I don't believe that either one of those gentlemen did anything to make themselves bleed, so to speak. I want to protect kayfabe a little bit here. But I thought the match was vicious, it was violent, and that's what you expected with that Hell in the Cell match. Now, as for the other Hell in the Cell match, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, I thought that one was boring. I just really felt that the flow of the match was not very good. I also felt like, quite frankly, those guys were handcuffed. I mean, what are you going to do? You don't want to do something that Lesnar and Undertaker are going to do. I mean, you don't want to go out there and murder each other. But yet, you're expected to go out there and be somewhat violent. And I thought it was a really bad match. I was not too interested in it at all. It wasn't the worst match on the show, though. And the worst match on the show, I think, was Kevin Owens versus Ryback. And that hurts me to say, because I think Kevin Owens has done a great job in the WWE. Whether it's at the level of NXT or on the main roster, I think that he's been saddled with this feud with Ryback, and I just think the poor guy's talent is being wasted wrestling Ryback for the Intercontinental title rather than somebody else, like a Dolph Ziggler, or even a Cesaro. That would be a great feud, Cesaro and Owens. But overall, I thought that the pay-per-view itself was meh. It wasn't great, it wasn't terrible, much like Night of Champions was, the same way. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here in the next couple weeks, spinning that off, because the next big pay-per-view, of course, is Survivor Series, which they're hyping as the 25th anniversary of the arrival of The Undertaker, which makes me feel old, because I remember as a kid watching that pay-per-view and just freaking out that, you know, mean Mark Callis showed up in the WWF. That's right, that's how much of a dork I was. I knew who The Undertaker actually was. Mean Mark Callis from WCW, man. Part of the Skyscrapers with Danny Spivey. Anyways, I digress. So let's move on into a little bit of hockey news, because it was about two or three episodes ago where Mr. Larry Fisher joined me from all the way up there in British Columbia, Canada, to talk about the upcoming season. And man, oh man, the season for the NHL has been a very interesting one, shall we say. For those that don't know, we're about 3 weeks into the NHL season, and some of the things that Larry and I discussed came true, and some of them, haven't come true. Let's start off with what we thought was going to happen in Montreal, which was that the Montreal Canadiens would have yet again another tough, tough team. But I'm darn certain Larry would never have predicted that they went on such a tear. They are undefeated, people. 10-0 as of the recording of this podcast, and that's an amazing feat. You got to tip your hat to Montreal for being undefeated in this early in the season. Now, as for the other end of the spectrum, I think it was somewhat surprising that the Columbus Blue Jackets have only won one single game. They were pretty much winless through most of the first few weeks of the season. And that meant goodbye Todd Richards, hello John Tortorella. I gotta tell you right now, living in this city, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the first major blow-up of Torts, as they call him. For those that don't know, John Tortorella has coached in the NHL on several different occasions. He was a winner of the Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2004. He's been in the New York Rangers organization as their head coach. He's also been in the Vancouver Canucks organization as their head coach. The man is the Bobby Knight of the NHL. That's right. He has a reputation for walking out of press conferences, for telling sports reporters that their questions are stupid. He does not coddle stars of the teams. In fact, that's what got him booted from Vancouver, was that indeed he wanted the Sedin twins to play a particular style of hockey that they did not want to. Of course, the icing on the cake in Vancouver is when he challenged Calgary Flames coach Bob Hartley to a fight. That actually happened, people. Live on TV. That's right. He challenged another coach to a fist fight. Can you see now why I'm excited that he's in town? I can't wait for that crazy train to get a rolling. But also here, let's talk a little bit about some other things, you know, that we, me and Larry discussed. I don't think that Larry nor I ever would have thought that the Arizona Coyotes would be tops of their division way out in the Pacific. But they are. They're having a really good season, which shocks me to no end because I don't think anybody in Phoenix cares about the Coyotes. Now, the Pittsburgh Penguins seem to be struggling. Another team that we talked quite a bit about, since they tooled up and got a lot of offensive help over in the offseason, they're a mediocre team, probably right around, you know, I think the last time I looked, they had four wins and three losses. So they're middle of the pack in their Metropolitan Division. And unfortunately, the Edmonton Oilers are struggling a little bit. Dead last in the Pacific, but they've managed to put together some wins. And again, that was surprising. I really thought that they would be a team that would actually be on the upswing, so to speak. But hey, it's only the end of October. So there could be a lot of shakeups throughout the season. And so, you know, periodically maybe I'll revisit the predictions that we made here. Or maybe not. I don't know. Well, you let me know what you think. If I should revisit these predictions or not. You know what? In fact, if you want to tell me anything at all, let me tell you how you can do that. You can shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can tweet me at pvdmvp. You can also get in touch with me on Instagram at the same username of pvdmvp. So let me know what you think. You know, whether you liked this episode, talking about Hell in a Cell, talking a little NHL, or whether you didn't, whether you liked a previous episode, whatever, man. Just get it off your chest and tell me what you think about the PVD cast. So, well, with that being said, it's getting up there about 14 minutes, and I said that I was going to keep this as a curtate episode. As I usually do, before I get into Orlando's faves, let me just tell you real quick about one thing that you need to know about, and that is that are you looking for some great comics to read? Then you should check out the catalogs of two great comic book publishers right here in town, NixComics.com and BackPorchComics.com. No matter the genre, whether it's kid-friendly, science fiction, western, realistic fiction, or whatnot, these two websites will have something for your liking. You've heard these guys come on this very podcast and talk about their projects. You know Ken, you know Bob. Yeah, and if you don't, then what the heck, man? Go back to the catalog and listen to those two podcasts. They're great, man. But anyways, I digress. You know what they're all about. They're about entertaining you with unique, interesting, and sometimes off-the-wall tales. They got some comics that you definitely want to read about, so just head on over to Nix Comics, that's NIXComics.com, or BackPorchComics.com, and pick up something new for your reading library. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. All right, let's get on into it. It's time for Orlando's Fave. My fave for this curtate episode of the PVD cast is a dessert. Sort of. Maybe you would classify it as a snack. All I can classify it as is delicious. I picked up some Oreo brownie batter cookies. And let me tell you, woo! Those are some awesome cookies. I mean, they're still not as good as my beloved Canadian maple cream cookies, but these things are close second, man. They are really rich and chocolatey, and I get a hanker for chocolate sometimes, so I thoroughly appreciate the Oreo brownie batter cookies that are out on the market. You're at your local Meijer or Kroger or wherever you shop for your groceries, you need to pick up some, because I guarantee that you will enjoy them, especially if you're like me and you like a little dose of chocolate every once in a while. This will definitely fulfill that need, so... With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I've told you where you can get in touch with me. I've told you about a cool place that you need to check out, nixcomics.com or backporchcomics.com. I've given you my input, my insights, and all of my thoughts. So there's nothing left to do except for say, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.